This episode is sponsored in part by Make My Own Soap. Make My Own Soap provides you with pre-measured all-in-one kits that make it easy to create unique and personalized gifts. Each gift comes with a link to digital instructions that include pictures for every step. Plus, you can join a virtual soapathon live class where you make your own soap along with others doing the same thing. You can make your own gifts or even make a gift of the kits to a do-it-yourselfer on your gift list. Visit MakeMyOwnSoap.com and see our show notes for coupon codes that give you a discount on your purchase. Thank you, Make My Own Soap. Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives. I'm Chris Taylor of Honeycomb and Spice.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
And I'm Bonnie Burns of Strong Wives.
Pull up your chair to our virtual kitchen table and let's chat.
Well, we're back for another Sex Chat for Christian Wives. And we are one down today, missing Bonnie, missing her a lot. But I am here with Chris and Gay, and today we're going to be talking about the 10 best things about sex. These are not all the best things about sex, maybe. You may not agree with all of them, but these are 10 we came up with. What is our first one, or our 10th one, depending on how you...
These are in no order of benefit. No. So yeah. Number one is stress relief. And I am mentioning this one because I have so much stress in my life. Clearly, I need to do a better job of having more sex to deal with that stress. I'm sure my husband will be not too disappointed to comply with that.
Yeah, it's kind of a struggle, though, because stress can be a libido killer, but sex is also good for relieving stress. So sometimes you just kind of have to tell yourself, okay, this is going to be good.
I'm not ready yet mentally, but I know I'll be so glad that I did it.
Yeah. So there are actually some studies that have shown that sex increases endorphins, which are hormones that make you feel good, and it decreases cortisol, which is the stress hormone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I better get right on that.
Yeah, so that's definitely a big benefit of sex, is that relief of stress. And if anybody's been paying attention to the last 2 years, there's been a lot of stress out there. So yeah, that's a good thing to think about. All right, what's our second one on our list, Gay?
There are physical health benefits of sex. There are quite a few, but for example, there have been some studies that have shown that it's actually beneficial for your immune system. Again, since we're in a state now where immune system is kind of a big thing, that may be a benefit that people want to explore. Mm-hmm. It also can help lower your blood pressure, which, you know, has an impact on your heart, your blood vessels, stroke risk, that kind of thing. So those are two good health benefits.
Yeah, it strengthens your pelvic floor and improves bladder control, honestly. So that's something that especially we aging women become aware of and wanting to have. And for the husbands, regular sexual intimacy helps to prevent prostate cancer. So any other health benefits we want to mention?
For some women, sex can help reduce pain levels. That hasn't been my experience, but I do know women for whom that is true.
Do you mean pain with sex or just overall
pain? I mean, like overall pain. Like some women with chronic illnesses find that after sex, they have a certain, like a lessening of the pain for a period of time. I have a friend who gets migraines, and she said that sex is the one thing that will help interrupt that pain. So no, I'm not talking about sexual pain. I'm talking about other pain.
Yeah, I'm looking at something right now that says it may be able in some women to help with chronic back and leg pain, with menstrual cramps, and possibly even with headaches.
That's interesting. I know some women say that sex also helps them sleep better.
Mm-hmm. Sex in the morning helps me want to sleep, and it helps me sleep better, but sex at night wakes me up.
That's the opposite of what it should be.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Well, you just have to be difficult, don't you, Chris?
Well, you know, my mother always said I have to learn my lessons the hard way, so this is just par for the course.
Yeah, so all these health benefits are not guaranteed, but they definitely are out there, And that brings us to our third item, which is also a physical benefit, but it is orgasm.
Yay. We should have some nice cheering sound effect for that one.
Yeah. Y'all knew this would be on the list, listeners. So orgasm is definitely a benefit of sex. And if you haven't experienced orgasm yet, yes, this is something that it's worth figuring out and going for, because it is quite a lovely experience.
And Bonnie has a book recently out called Unlock Your Orgasm. That would be a wonderful help. So we'll include the link to that in our show notes.
Anything else y'all want to say about orgasm? Or
I believe we also did a webinar about that.
Oh, that's true. We did.
Yeah. I have a chapter in Hot, Holy, and Humorous about that. So anyway, we have orgasm resources and we will definitely put them in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most women who have had really good orgasms, if you ask them one of the best things about sex, that's going to come up. We also had an episode, I think, where we talked to Julie Seibert about it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We did.
Well, apparently we talk plenty about orgasm here.
Gee, I wonder why.
We are fans.
Big fans.
Husbands, take note. Okay, that brings us to number
four. It's fun. Or it can be fun. Someone once described it as the best fun two grown-ups can have. And I kind of like that.
Yeah, I've heard the bedroom of a married couple called a playground. The idea that the bed is your playground where you get to play with each other and have fun. And I like having playfulness as part of our sexual intimacy.
Yeah, and it goes along with, you know, how often you talk about laughter in the bedroom, Ms. Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
Yeah, humorous. That's a big part of my brand, as they say, because I think it's important to, you know, have a lightheartedness about this at times. Okay, number five is variety. What do we mean by variety?
I think about how very different sex can be from one time to the next. I mean, there are times that I really like basic vanilla sex, and other times where I might want to do something a little spicier. You can have sex in so many different positions and so many places. I just think it's great that it's an activity that you can adjust to your situation, whatever that situation is. There's a lot you can do.
And this may have to do with both fun and variety, but, you know, I mean, adult life can be a little bit tedious at times, sometimes a lot tedious, you know, especially for people with little kids and, you know, a daily grind, or those who are caring for older relatives. And so sex can be one way to introduce something different, something a little more fun, a little more exciting into your relationship, sort of in the middle of the mundane stuff.
Yeah, I really like that idea. And I also think it's so amazing that God put this in marriage, because it's in the context of marriage that you have this long period of time to have all these different experiences with this one beloved person. And so the sexual intimacy of my marriage contains so many different varieties of how this happened. You know, we've had the drive-through sex, the quickie, and then we've had the feast lovemaking and everything in between and all kinds of stuff. It's just nice having all those varied experiences with the man I love.
And, you know, you talk about how you have this long period of time. I think there are so many different seasons in a marriage, and in every different season, you might have some different issues to deal with. You might have different things you are able to do or not to do. But that variety, just every season of life, you can figure something out, even if your body doesn't bend the way you want it to or whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking how even when the kids were young, I felt like we had quiet sex. And then now we get to have louder sex because they're gone.
But now you're in an apartment, so.
Well, you know what? I feel like.
I don't know these people.
I don't want to get to know my neighbors.
As far as I'm concerned, if they give me a weird look, I'll just be like, hey, I'm doing really well. You're just jealous. Well, speaking of fun and variety, we want to make sure that you know about our sponsor. It's Married Dance. Married Dance is an online store for sex toys, marital aids, and intimacy products, specifically for married Christian couples. Married Dance is owned by a Christian husband and wife, and they've made sure that their shop does not contain any nudity or porn, and their product descriptions are marriage-centered. They also have discreet shipping, so others won't know exactly what you're getting. Just you when you open that box. They're having a Black Friday sale. You can save 13% store-wide using their coupons. So if you just head to their site, there'll be a notice there saying Black Friday sale, and you can find the coupon code there. Mary Dance has everything from personal lubricant to massage oils to marital aids to bedroom games and just a whole lot more. Be sure to check them out and their Black Friday sale. We have a link to their store in our show notes. We thank Mary Dance for sponsoring the episode. And now back to our list. Okay, number six. This is one I put on here, so I'm going to go ahead and cover it. And I called it rose-colored glasses because the way I think of it is, you know, rose-colored glasses are supposed to kind of give you a positive filter. And I feel like that's good to have when you're married. Like, one of the reasons not to have sex before you're married, because you tend to start seeing somebody in positive light and you really want to be able to see everything as you're choosing your mate and know all the potential red, yellow flags. But after you're married, it's nice to put on those rose-colored glasses and have kind of this positivity in how you see your spouse. For instance, after we've made love, I care a whole lot less about the socks left on the floor or that dirty dish in the sink. You know, I'm just able to kind of let some of the smaller stuff go.
Yeah, my affection for my husband is more present and easier to access when we've been doing well in our sex life. It's just more enjoyable and less stressful and less tense.
I agree with that. I mean, it helps us to see our husbands a little bit more rose-colored, and it probably helps them to see us that way too, which is probably a good thing.
But we're all perfect.
Because we're all perfect. Not completely. But, and I'm sure, I just want to make the point, and I'm sure our regular listeners know this, but maybe for someone who's new, we're not saying that sex, you know, papers over serious problems in your marriage, or that you should even attempt to have them do that. We're talking about sort of everyday annoyances and quirks that bother us and the mundane sort of things.
Exactly. And what is number seven?
Number seven is, we couldn't quite decide on the right word for this, but we decided on self-confidence, because as you go through your marriage and your sex life kind of develops and gets closer and matures, there can be, for women, I think, a feeling of body confidence or self-confidence that develops, that you feel like, wow, look at these things I can do with my body, and look how I can make my husband feel, and look how I can feel. And because as women, we're often so hard on our bodies, sex can be something that builds your confidence in your body.
Yeah.
It's like we're Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I always think of myself.
We know, Jay, we know.
Yeah, I think that it's important that you said that this is over time, because I think a lot of wives are going to hear that and say, no, sex actually makes me feel worse about myself. And I think this is something that you probably can actively foster. And we've talked about those kinds of things in our previous episodes, but it is something that you also grow into. I mean, it's kind of fascinating to me that my body objectively does not look as good as it did 10 years ago. And yet I'm substantially more confident walking into the bedroom and being with my husband sexually, because we have grown in that sexual maturity and I have become more aware of how my body works and how he's responding and how I'm responding and all those things. And so it has created real self-confidence in who I am, not just how I look, but who I am.
And sometimes I would say I feel even a sense of pride that, oh, look what I could do.
Yeah. You kind of give yourself this attagirl, your own personal attagirls.
And, you know, confidence is very attractive. So I think as you gain in confidence, you start to feel more attractive. And I think it's your confidence is also attractive to your husband. And so that all feeds back into your self-confidence where it can.
Yeah. And as I felt more confident, I also was more able to speak up for things that I wanted and liked or try new things. And then it cycles through where it's like, oh, well, look what that did. Hey, that was really great. And then you feel better about yourself. And so I feel like it just kind of builds as you step out and do some things. It's and again, it, like everything we've talked about, when you start something that you haven't done a lot, it can feel a little awkward at first, but over time it builds and you can feel pretty confident in yourself. Okay, let's move then to number eight.
Number eight is that sex can reaffirm your commitment to each other. I've sometimes heard good sex described as something that's almost like a renewal or a revisiting of the wedding vows. And I've experienced this too, that there are times when sex is so connective and so powerful that I just feel reminded all over again of why I'm so glad that God brought me and my husband together and why he's the right man for me. It doesn't always feel like that, but it sometimes does. And it just sort of like a physical reenactment of marriage. I don't know.
So I will say that when my husband and I were seriously struggling with our marriage, and I'm going to give the caveat that we were not dealing with abuse, adultery, or addiction. Okay. So we were having relational conflict, but not any of those traumatic issues. But we were really struggling. And one of the things that actually did help us was continuing to have good sexual intimacy. And I think in those moments, it reaffirmed my commitment to him because I saw, okay, we're struggling with all of this, but he still desires me. I still desire him. We still love each other. There's still a connection here. And we're reaffirming that we're still in this. So for us, that was helpful in continuing to work on the problems, but reaffirming our commitment with intimacy. Speaking of intimacy, let's get to number nine.
Yeah, so in a way, it seems too obvious. Obviously, if you are regularly having sex with your husband and it's reasonably enjoyable and you're both happy with it, you know, it's going to build that connection, that intimate connection between you. And it's something that only the two of you have. So, you know, it's a private activity. You probably have private like words or phrases you use, you know, even outside the bedroom, you have ways of referring to it that remind you of that connection. So it's just something that you only have with your husband. And, you know, it makes that relationship unique and just increases kind of the intimate level of communication between you.
I think every shared experience, you know, when we share the experience with our husband and not with anyone else, I think all of those experiences work together to build intimacy throughout the life of the marriage. You know, I can think of times when we had major sex fails. You know, we tried something and it really didn't work, or for some reason, neither of us could really get going. But even those failures helped build the intimacy because they were part of our shared life together.
Mm-hmm. Sex involves vulnerability, and done right, hopefully that is happening in a context of exclusivity and trust. And when you have that, that is part of the intimacy of your relationship, is the vulnerability, the trust, the exclusivity, all those things kind of create this bond where it just feels like, you know, just you and me, babe.
And I will say, give us a reminder of what I think Bonnie would remind us of if she was here, which is that for women who have experienced sexual betrayal or sexual trauma, a lot of work has to take place before sex can build intimacy in those marriages. So if you have experienced some kind of betrayal or trauma, you can't just have sex and expect it will build intimacy. They're really, you know, steps you'll have to take probably with a professional helping you to move forward in your marriage.
And I would say that bad sexual experiences, and I don't mean sex when it just doesn't work. But really negative sexual experiences can actually destroy the intimacy mm-hmm. in a marriage. So yeah. that's why so we want it to be all good.
Right, right. So these are things that all the relational sides of this is stuff that you kind of have to build. And you need to be in a good place individually and together to really be experiencing these benefits. But when you are in that place, when you are having healthy and holy and mutual and good sexual intimacy, that brings us to number 10 on our list.
Sex can be a spiritual reflection of the intimacy we will one day experience with God.
Yeah, there are so many scriptures where God labels himself as the husband to his people. That just feels to me like, okay, if God created us for intimacy and he likens his relationship to his people to a marriage, then the intimacy we can have with our spouse when it's really the way God designed it to be is a reflection of that.
And I just want to read this from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. And I would say that, in my experience, sex is not always spiritually significant, but there have been some times when I just am filled with this sense of, this is what heaven will be like. And I just want to be so merged and connected with my husband on every single level.
Yeah, I feel like a healthy sex life in marriage can give you glimpses. It's not the whole view.
Right.
But it's glimpses.
And if that seems strange to you, you're not alone.
That's why Paul called it a profound mystery. We don't fully get it. Okay. That's our 10. So I'm going to go through the list one more time here at the end. We had stress relief, health benefits, orgasm, fun, variety, rose-colored glasses, self-confidence, reaffirms commitment, builds intimacy, and it's a spiritual reflection of God's desire for intimacy with us. I got through the list. Is there anything else that y'all want to add? It's complete silence.
I feel like I should say,
hey, they're just staring at me.
So print out this list as a checklist and see if you can hit all 10 by the end of 2022.
That's a long time there.
I know. Well, you know, sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah. I will say before we started recording, Chris used this phrase and I think it's a good one. Look, some of these things are aspirational. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to be hitting all these things right now. So if you're not experiencing those, this is something that you can have as your goals, your desires.
And I would say that, you know, it's perfectly okay to not experience all of these. It doesn't mean that your sex life has a problem if you don't. But when we think about the best things about sex, this is the list.
Go for it.
We will wrap this up right here, and we will see y'all in a couple of weeks, and we will have Bonnie back. And I do want to remind listeners before we jump off that we take a break in December. So we have this episode, and we'll have one more coming up, and then we will be taking a little respite until we hit the new year. So stick with us through that, and thanks for listening.